read for you Micah chapter 5.
Verses 2 through 5a. I want you to realize as I get ready to read this, that this scripture was recorded, was said about 800 years before Christ. About 800 years before Christ. Listen to these words. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. And the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace. Before Christ was born, these words come to the prophet Micah, a contemporary of Isaiah. And he speaks out these words for people to hear, to understand, to take in, to think about. And these words did mean something for them in their day, because they were in the midst of turmoil between Assyria and Babylon. But they have come to mean so much more. You see, Micah shares God's plan long before the Messiah comes. Long before the Messiah, Micah is sharing those words about the one who will come. The one who will be our Savior. The one who will lift us up. The one who will help us. Sometimes I think we rush too quickly to Christmas. And we don't spend some time thinking about what it was like to live before Christmas. We're rushing all season to get there. Instead of hearing the words and letting the words come in and settle within us so that we can think deeper about them. The one who will come. The one who will return one day. The one who will return and save us. But don't rush to Christmas. Take some time. One of the reasons I wanted to read Mary's song this morning. The angel Gabriel had just spoken to her, and she sang that song about the plan that God had and what God would bring and what would happen. And Scripture says that she pondered the words of the angel. Now, some of you might go, I don't do much pondering. I'm asking you to. Take some time between now and Christmas and ponder, what does it mean that the Christ child comes? Ponder, what does it mean that it's a Messiah to save us? A Messiah to guide us? For you see, the plan that God has is a plan to provide a leader who will rule over God's people. In our world, leaders come and go. This is a leader that will last forever. This is one that we can follow that has great wisdom and insight and understanding and compassion and love and mercy and grace. I don't know about you, but I need more and more grace every day. devotionals this morning. And the prayer in there was a prayer of, God, prepare my heart that your love might sink deeper into it. Is there something I need more? I need more to know the love of God that has a plan for broken humanity, that has a plan to redeem humanity, that has a plan to provide a leader when this world is so full of leaders that are not just, that are not right, that only care for themselves. But you see, this Messiah will guide people back together as God's community. This Messiah will guide people back together as God's community. I've met many of folk through my ministry that say they don't need to be part of the church, that they don't need to be along with other people to worship God, to learn more about God. And so often I just look at them and say, yes, you're right. But why do you cut yourself out of so many blessings and benefits? Why do you say, I don't need that? Why do you say it's not necessary for me to do that? I find it necessary to come together, to be supported by my sisters and brothers of the faith, to be reminded by someone else that God loves me. For you see, I know that, but sometimes it's only known here. And because of situations in life and what's going on, it's not known here. I know it in my head, but I don't know it in my heart. And sometimes I need to know it in my heart. And I can be reminded of that by gathering together with other people. I can be reminded by that and listening to wonderful music. I can be reminded of that by tradition and rituals. I can be reminded by that of by new songs. I know everybody doesn't like a new song, especially in worship service. But sometimes we need those new songs to lift our spirits. And by the way, I've told people many times, if you don't like new songs, then what you're telling me is you don't want to go to heaven. Because the scripture says in heaven, they will all sing a new song. So if you don't like new songs, well then check heaven off your list. Because when we get there, we'll be singing new songs. And why will we be singing new songs? We'll be singing new songs because this Messiah has guided us back together to see God in a new and a fresh way. I can't get over it. You mean the God of all the universe, the God who created and made all things, loves me that deeply? I know who I am. Or sometimes I think I do. I know who I want to be. Or sometimes I think I do. You see, I need this Messiah to help me understand my place in community. We celebrate it often when we think about it. There's this parable about a shepherd with 100 sheep, and what happens to one of them? It walks away and it gets lost. And what does the shepherd do? Goes and finds that one and brings it back into community. Community is important. How I cherish it when I hear somebody pray for me. How I cherish that. You guys ask me to pray for you often. But to hear you pray for me is part of the community I need. Now I know, as I said that, some of you are going to tell me at the door on the way, I pray for you every day. Thank you for that. Thank you. But sometimes to hear somebody actually say the prayer is powerful. Community. This Messiah brings people back together as God's community. But then there's a responsibility on our part. And the responsibility on our part is tough. I acknowledge it. If people allow the Messiah to shepherd them, they will live in security. You see, the sheep has to listen too. Suppose the shepherd goes out to find the one who's lost, and the one who's lost doesn't want to come back. That one who's lost will not know security. That's why the shepherd has come after them, wanting to save them, wanting to help them. One of the most incredible things that God has done for us is God has given us free will to do whatever we want, to make whatever decision we want. And I'm not going to speak for you, I'll speak for myself. I can make some pretty sorry decisions. And I have throughout my life. And I will continue to, because I'm human. Because sin is a part of this flesh. I'll make bad decisions. I'll say wrong things. I'll forget to do things. And some of you who are just a few years past me have told me that I'm going to forget more and more on how to do things. Thank you, brother, for your encouragement and help. But you see, if I listen to what the Messiah is saying and allow the Messiah to shepherd, that means I have to let go of some of my own desire. I have to let go of my strong will at times. I have to let go of some things to let the shepherd guide me. Do I want to live in security? In a world that's dark? In a world that, yeah, I've been places where I realize all of a sudden I probably shouldn't be here. It's not a safe place to be. But then the thought can come to me, if I'm following God and being obedient to the Messiah and allowing the Messiah to shepherd me, to guide me, to nudge me, to lead me, I will be secure. You see, that's one of the reasons the Messiah comes. Is to open up doors and help people to understand Scripture. Is to show God's ways. It's always at this time of year that I remember this story, and it just came back to my mind right now. Of a gentleman whose family went off to Christmas Eve service. And he didn't go with it. And outside, it was snowing up quite a piece. And it was getting pretty bad outside. He was worried about them getting home, but he felt it would be okay. And he had this wonderful fire going, sitting not far from it. And I know there's some of you this morning that would love to be sitting right next to a fire right now. Amen? And all of a sudden, a bird smashed into the window, trying to get closer to the fire because of the storm outside. language himself, but the man decided that what he would do is he would go out and open the barn and turn the light on so that the bird could get out of the storm into the barn. Try as he might, he couldn't get the bird in the barn. It's kind of like herding cats. You ever herded cats? Couldn't get the bird to understand that there was safety in the barn, there was security, there was a place that could be out of the wind and out of the snow. He went back inside and he sat down next to the fire. And he said, only if I can get that bird to understand. And only, well, gosh, I wish I could be a bird. So that I could tell the other birds, this is a safe place. You can come in here. And then it dawned on him. Is that not what God did when God came as baby Jesus? You see, the man realized that he was just so much bigger than the bird, and no matter how much he waved his hands around and tried to get the bird into the barn, all it was doing was scaring the bird. And I think if God came in all of God's awesomeness, I'd have to hear more than once what the angels say every time they come. You ever notice what they say every time they come? Be not afraid. I think I'd have to hear that more than once if God comes and is present right here in all of God's glory and power. Instead, God came as one of us. God came as a Messiah, a shepherd. God came as one to say, let me help you come together. Let me help you come into a place of safety. And this Messiah will bring peace and wholeness for all people. I can't ever separate my understanding of shalom from what this says. The Hebrew idea of shalom is so much different than what we think. Shalom is translated to the word peace. And oftentimes we think about that means absence of conflict. That means no problems, no issues, no violence. The Hebrew concept of peace, of shalom, by the way, people in Israel still use that as a greeting, I understand, and as a salutation, because it means much more than absence of conflict. It means wholeness, and that's why I've got peace slash wholeness. When you tell someone shalom, when you tell them the peace of the Lord be with you, may the wholeness that God has planned for you exist in your life. That's what shalom means. And you see, the Messiah comes for that. The Messiah comes to bring us wholeness, completeness, and the total design that God has for us. Yes, God gives you free will. But God has a plan for your life. As we find out in Jeremiah chapter 29, he has a plan for goodness. A plan to keep you, a plan to give you love and safety. And yet we have people in our world that shun away from it. Choose their own path in life. I wasn't fortunate enough to grow up in the church. It wasn't until I was 18 that somebody told me about what I could do to be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Probably took me another 6 months or so to make that decision. And for about the next 3 years, I walked as close to God as I could, and then I walked away. For 7 years, I walked away. For all intents and purposes, and I know you probably agree with me on this, I made myself crazy. Sometimes it comes out. I'm sorry. And I had an incredible nervous breakdown. And I can remember hearing God say very clearly, Tim, for the second time in your life, you tried to live your own will. You tried to live your own way. After you came into relationship with me, you decided to walk away. Do you want my help again? Will you allow yourself to be shepherded? You see, I thought I was eating in the green pastures. God showed me ones that were greener. The Messiah said, walk over this way. I thought I knew what was the best for my life. I was going to study wild turkey populations for the rest of my life. Walk around through the woods chasing them. It's better to chase them than scare them up, is the only thing I can tell you. Scared a flock of them up one time walking through a rhododendron thicket. I thought it was the end of my life. Every wing they had hit every branch on the way up. Wasn't a branch that wasn't disturbed. You see, that was my plan. Walk around in the woods for the rest of my life chasing turkeys. But God had a different plan. The Messiah had a different plan. The Messiah said, let me shepherd you. Let me guide you. Let me bring wholeness to your life. Why do I continue to preach? Because I want you to have wholeness. I want you to know the fullness of everything that God has planned for you and have a willingness to say, yes, I will do it. Has it meant that I've walked places that I didn't walk? Yep. Has it meant that in ministry I've done things that I would prefer not to do? Yes. But you know what else it's meant? God has brought wholeness to my life. And there are thousands of blessings that have happened because I was willing to say, yes, I'll follow the shepherd. And if you're not willing to say, yes, I'll follow the shepherd that Micah spoke of 800 years before he comes, you will miss out on blessings. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to look up at God and go, that's it, got all the blessings I can stand, no more? Are you really willing to do that? The Messiah is only going to lead you to blessings. For I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for good and not for evil, God says in Jeremiah chapter 29. Are you willing to follow this Messiah who comes? Are you willing to be shepherded? I want to ask you from now until Christmas morn, think about this question. Are you experiencing the shepherding of the Messiah? Is it part of your everyday experience to look to God, that God might guide you, lead you, help you, encourage you, lift you up? Are you being pulled together as part of a Christian community somewhere? tell you this. The 7 years that I walked away and didn't allow the Messiah to shepherd me were miserable. Miserable. Is that what you're willing to take a chance on? Are you experiencing the shepherding of the Messiah? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. And I know I'm willing to admit I'm a bad sheep. And sometimes I refuse to listen. And sometimes I refuse to let you guide me. Even though it's all about security and peace and wholeness. Lord, there's just some days I think I know better. To you that I don't. And my prayer, Lord, is that everybody who's hearing this message can make that same acknowledgement. That they don't always know best. And that they can't control every situation for the best outcome. And that they would be willing to be a good sheep. And allow you to guide them. And allow you to lead them. To bring them to a place of security and peace and wholeness. Lord, may those who need to do that make a change today. That they might come into a deeper love relationship with a God who has done so much to restore that relationship. But also a God who allows people to decide what they want. So Lord, touch hearts. Guide them closer to you and help them to realize as they make a firmer commitment for you to be their shepherd, that that only brings blessings. And it brings power and energy from you through the Holy Spirit. That we can live the path you want us to live. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.